Good morning, Elias.
And what shall we discuss this day?
I think I'd like to start off talking about the shifted experience, what I've experienced with hallucinogens. I wanted to ask why, for me particularly, when I'm with more people, I become a lot more internal. Like, it almost intensifies or feels a bit different than when I'm just by myself or just with one other person. And I'm curious, why is there a difference? Because I know when others are around, we talked about how people, I can see everyone is being shifted. Like, it's almost everyone is expressing themselves in a very conscious way, to me at least, in those moments. So when there's multiple people around, it feels, I don't even know the word to use here, it's overwhelming, but at the same time it feels almost like they know what they're doing. And I think internally I am almost trying to reconcile that. I am not sure that that's actually the case, at least objectively. So I'm trying to see if you have any input on that.
And before I answer that, what would your assessment be?
You mean between, like, when it's multiple people versus by myself?
Yes.
I think when I'm by myself, I have less to focus on. And I'm, in a sense, more focused on myself, and the external input that I'm in focus on would just be whatever I'm doing, versus when there's other people around, that adds more and more external elements that I have to sort of split my focus on and pay attention to all of it, and it's not as much of what I'm doing, say, watching a movie that I put on or listening to music that I put on. I'm almost separating myself from them and kind of giving them their own reality, but then if there's multiple people around, I'm watching all these different variations going on at once.
I would agree. It is somewhat overstimulating, or you are unaccustomed to it. It is not what you view as the usual. And in addition to that, you are much more open to all of that energy. And that becomes overwhelming. And then you add in the factor that you begin to analyze or evaluate the situation and wonder about whether the other individuals are actually aware of what they are expressing in comparison to yourself and you being aware of what you are doing. What I would say to you is that in itself is very common for when you are unfamiliar with anything or any expression. It is very common for individuals to be questioning what they are observing or what they are participating with. In this, what I would say to you is that in those time frameworks, what you are observing is very real.
Yeah.
Are the other individuals aware of that state or being in that state? Likely not. But it matters not whether they are or they aren't.
Exactly.
For in that, it is being expressed from your perception.
Yep.
Therefore, what you are seeing are the aspects of them that are expressing in that capacity.
In what capacity?
Of being shifted.
Okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. Now,
are perceiving the situation somewhat differently from how other individuals might perceive it, or even from how the individuals participating themselves would perceive the situation or any of their awarenesses. For them, you are in a particular state, and therefore you are also perceiving from that state, and you are perceiving the other individuals from that perspective. And this is a significant point. For one of the most commonly expressed directions that individuals move in presently is this expression of separating and noticing themselves becoming more aware, or noticing themselves in a particular moment or brief time framework in which they may be experiencing being shifted, but they are not remembering all of their perception in that state. For when they are not in that state, then they generate this separation, and they recognize and they notice other individuals' awarenesses as being different from their own or less than their own in relation to self-awareness or being shifted. Now, what you are expressing is different, for what you are doing is remembering that when you are in that state, you perceive everyone else to be in that state also, which is correct, which is natural. And in that, if an individual is maintaining that state for longer than a few moments, and if they remember or recall their full experience in that state, they would notice what you have noticed, and that is significant, for that is the point, and that is why I have expressed to other individuals that if you are genuinely being present, and if you are moving into that state of being shifted, it won't matter what you perceive now to be a divide between your awareness and other individuals, for you will perceive the other individuals to be shifted also, for that is what you are observing. You are observing that aspect of them that is already, not the aspect of them that is perhaps less aware than yourself.
Right.
I would express congratulations. But I would also acknowledge that it can be overwhelming. For in that state, you are family, you are open to all of that other energy, and it can be overstimulating.
Yeah.
And at overstimulation, it can even become confusing to be aware of and paying attention to all of that outside stimulation, and then remember to be aware of yourself at the same time.
I would say,
or it is failure.
Yeah, I would actually say for me, at first, many years ago, it was definitely confusing. These days, it's not confusing anymore. It is overwhelming. There's a lot going on, and I am aware of it. I see it. It definitely revolves right around me, and I see that too, and I can see that it's my perception. But these days, it's almost like when I'm in that state. And like you said, for me, it lasts hours, usually until I go to sleep. Then I'll wake up and feel back to the sort of what I might call my normal waking state, not being in that shifted state. But it feels to me that there's almost this story going on, like my story being told through my eyes, but also that everyone else is a part of, and knowingly so. And, you know, we're all like a team in a manner of speaking, and we're all thus interconnected in that sense. And I think the thing that is, if anything, most confusing is when I feel in that state and I see everyone has shifted and everyone's like, yeah, we're all on the same team, and I get that. But at the same time, it sometimes feels like, and I know this has to do with a feeling of, you know, who got there first or who got there last. And that doesn't really matter as much, but it does feel like I'm kind of like a newcomer at times. And then at the other times, it's hard to explain. Like, I feel and see that maybe what I'm perceiving is not necessarily what they are perceiving. And so then I back out of that perception that maybe I'm not the newcomer, but I'm, in a sense, one of the only ones, at least in the experiences I've had with the particular people that I've had with it, that maybe some of them aren't in that state. So I'm kind of like back and forthing with it at times. And that, I think, is part of the confusion, if there is any.
It's very understandable. I would express that eventually, as you continue to engage that state, it becomes more and more natural. And in that, you will stop doing that.
Yeah, I felt over time, it's definitely becoming more natural.
Yes, and in this, it is very common to be expressing in that manner in those questions and evaluating, and in that, you are attempting to reconcile what is real. But in that, remember, I expressed previously at the onset of this forum that eventually, as you shift, your waking objective reality will begin to appear more similar to dream reality than it does now. And in that, your objective awareness is very accustomed to incorporating very clear divides between what you think of as real, what you perceive as real, and what is not.
Right.
In that, your objective awareness is adjusting, therefore it is questioning what is real in this experience, what fits in what I know, and what doesn't. But eventually, it will become natural, and those questions will stop. You will fluctuate between the objective expression of reality that you are accustomed to, and that shifted state of reality, and that will endure longer and longer, and you will become more and more accustomed to that as you adjust into moving fully into that state. And in that, even before you move fully into that state, even in expressing that state for perhaps hours rather than days, you will become accustomed to it enough that you will stop questioning.
I do feel that coming. I do feel when I'm, like, some of these recent ones, actually we just picked up some hallucinogens recently and have tried them out, and I had some recent experiences with it. The most recent, in fact, during the whole experience, there wasn't as much questioning going on. It was very enlightening. It was very just, I was more wowed by it, and it was definitely, and there was a moment when I went by myself and I took a shower and just something clicked, and maybe partly you were there involved too, but I felt like I was, in a sense, having a conversation with other non-physical essences. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, and it felt like, it almost felt like when I looked at my body, when I say looked at, I meant kind of just put my attention on, not actually physically look at, but when I was, you know, paying attention to what I was doing, I felt this sort of almost acceptance of that not just me was involved in that, though that's kind of the wrong way to put it, but it was like I understood that everyone was involved in that, and I liked that.
Yes. And that is moving more into that awareness of interconnectedness.
Yeah.
And that is more of an experience of thinning those veils of separation.
Yeah.
And what that actually means. In this, it is not that you are eliminating separation entirely, for you are continuing to participate in physical focus. You have a body which in itself is an expression of separation. But in that you are also aware of yourself, your personality,
mm-hmm.
who you are, but in addition to your individual identity, you are also aware of an expandedness in which this is the beginning stage, so to speak, in which you are aware of other energies and presences participating with you. Eventually that will also evolve, and it will be an awareness of other energies, but that all of it is interconnected in the capacity that it is all you, or you are all that.
Yeah, someone used a word recently, using the word collective, and the word that came to my head, while I understand the term collective feels a bit more separated, and the word that popped into my head was aggregate, that I am the aggregate, so to speak, of all of that.
I would agree.
Yeah. Okay. And what you just said, you know, thinning those veils of separation. Another recent experience I had with a friend, I didn't reach that state till later in the evening. She had fallen asleep, and we were on the couch, and she had her legs up on me, and the movie that I was kind of watching, I was actually watching it without the sound, but had music playing, and I think it was just the way the music was going, and the movie at the same time, it did shift me, and there was moments when I was, you know, following my energy, and watching my thoughts, and her body would twitch, and in that manner of, you know, thinning the veils, I felt very connected with that. I felt that, not that I was making her twitch, but that in a manner of speaking, I was. But that's kind of goes along with that thinning the veil and feeling that interconnection. It was as though her body would twitch at times when something happened on the show or, you know, something that was humorous. Internally, I would kind of chuckle, and I didn't want to do it out loud because she was sleeping, but at times she would actually chuckle, and I would look over, and I'm like, is she actually awake? Because then I started realizing, is she a part of this creation here, or is she completely asleep? Later on, she said she was completely asleep, but I felt connected with her body conscious in that way. I assume you would agree.
Yes, I would.
Okay. So I think that helps a lot. I did want to ask, recently on the forum, well, a friend posted something about himself realizing that, and I'll read his words verbatim. He had said, from his experience, when you believe something strongly enough, based on whatever you feel is evidence, no amount of struggle, trying, battling, fighting, or trying to change, eliminate, or accept the belief will work at all. He's just relaxing, seeing that he can never win the battle. And he had also said that he believes, he has strongly believed in, feared, like held an expression of fear continuously and paid attention to and projected fearful energy towards a so-called future event for nearly, he says, 2 years, and absolutely nothing has happened. He's interpreted some environmental events in negative ways based on that belief, but none of them actually had anything to do with the fear. So his overall summarized view in this manner is that I'm starting to get the impression that you could strongly and nearly constantly believe in, fear, pay attention to, concentrate on, and project fearful emotional energy towards something, say, forever. And if it was simply not true or not already in motion based on something actually substantial, it would never happen. The reason I'm bringing this up is I'm curious to know or to get your input on, I guess this kind of goes into how holding different aspects of our energy, whether it's fear or abundance or anything in between, how that actually goes about, and I'm sure the myriad of different things that it can create, and how to sort of reconcile that for others. Because that sparked a nice long conversation with others where everyone was kind of putting their input in. So I'm curious to know your input on such a conversation.
Very well. First of all, I would remind you by reiterating that thought does not create your reality. Feelings are your own. They influence your behavior, especially if you are not expressing them and therefore holding that energy, but feelings are signals, therefore they also don't create your reality. Fear is a feeling. It is a signal about a threat.
Right. Fear is not the energy or the concentration you're necessarily holding on to.
Correct. No, it is not. Now, the key component is not what you feel or what you think. The key component is what you do. What energy you are projecting, which is also the reason that I have expressed previously that your feelings are not always an indicator in relation to what type of energy you are projecting, regardless of how intense the feeling may be. You may interpret a very strong feeling, and you may be generating a very different energy. You may even be expressing an energy that is entirely contrary to what you are feeling. The indicator is what you are doing. Therefore, yes, that is a correct observation that an individual can express a feeling and even interpret thinking in relation to that feeling, or in harmony, let us say, with that feeling. And they may express that for a considerable time framework, years perhaps. And whatever they are expressing in relation to that feeling, let us say a fear, it may not ever manifest, for it is dependent upon what you do. Now, in this, let us use a very simple example. Let us say that an individual has a fear of death and dying young. Now, let us say that this individual is very afraid of dying young and thinks about it somewhat frequently, and perhaps even thinks about it in the capacity that they think that they will absolutely die when they reach the age of 40. Now, in that, that individual can hold that thinking and can feel that fear for years and years and believe it. Therefore, they are trusting that fear and what they are thinking in relation to that fear. Does that necessarily mean that they will absolutely create that situation or that event of disengaging at that particular age? No. For it is a matter of what they are doing. And in that, let us say, this same individual, regardless of their fear that they will die when they reach the age of 40, let us say that they are considerably active, they are engaged with their reality, they are interested in their reality, they are interactive with other individuals, and in that, what they are doing is contrary to that fear. They are engaging. Now, conversely, let us say that another individual holds the same fear and the same thinking, and that individual begins to retreat and stop being interactive and is less engaging of this reality and is allowing the feeling of the fear to dictate their behavior. Now, in that situation, that individual might create that event happening.
Gotcha.
It is a matter of whether you are allowing feelings to dictate what your behavior is. Now, let me also continue with that example. Let us say the first individual, although they believe it and they feel that fear, and they think to themselves occasionally or even frequently that they definitely will die when they arrive at 40.
And you would say that would be a concentration. They are concentrating on it.
I would.
Yeah, okay.
But I would express that they are concentrating on that, and they are holding energy in relation to that. But remember, this is the first individual.
Yes.
They are not actually allowing that feeling to dictate their behavior.
Gotcha.
They are not phoning all of their friends every day and having a conversation about death.
Right.
They are not engaging actions that are centered around death. They are not attending funerals frequently. They are not particularly concerned with what they are consuming or how they are engaging their body or what activities they are engaging. Now, their actions are not being dictated by their feeling. Now, conversely, the second individual, this individual not only is concentrating on that event or that occurrence, but they are allowing the feeling to dictate their behavior.
Gotcha.
Therefore, that individual likely will be introducing the subject of death frequently or expressing to other individuals that they will die, or in that perhaps becoming excessively concerned with what they are consuming.
Right.
And how it may be slowly poisoning their body.
Right.
And retreating from other individuals and not engaging as much, for they have less and less to contribute. They allow the feeling to dictate their behavior. And in that, then they are doing in relation to what they are feeling, and therefore they are projecting that energy. And they are likely to create that. It is not merely a matter of thinking and feeling that will influence a situation to actually manifest. Thinking and feeling may influence your behavior, and that is the reason it is important to be aware of that.
Right.
And when you are holding the concentration in relation to a particular subject that is not necessarily beneficial to you, it does hold energy, and that energy will be expressed eventually, but not necessarily in the precise manner of the fear.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was just about to ask you about a recent kind of example that we've had with a friend. It was the friend we talked about in our last session. She's the type that, in a sense, does let some of her fear, in ways, you would say that that person, too, that you were talking about, succumbs to that fear. They allow it to rule them, in a manner of speaking, and it allows them to rule their behaviors. Well, for instance, in our last session, I had asked, she had asked about the boyfriend she had and whether he's going to remember her. Well, during their relationship, she was constantly worried and anxious about their relationship, and was always talking to us about it, was always fearful of them, of him leaving, fearful of whether he loved her or not, fearful just all over the place. And not only was she feeling that, she was talking to us about it and wondering if we thought that he was going to leave. And while we, of course, tried to be as supportive as we can and try to, in a sense, not necessarily directly tell her to stop thinking about that, but, you know, don't put so much focus on it. Just focus on the good times that they have. Eventually, they broke up.
Yes. Now, in this, the expression of talking about the subject is merely the most obvious factor.
Sure.
That is one of the most obvious actions that individuals do when they are allowing feelings to dictate their behavior. That is one very consistent manifestation, is that they will talk about that fear and talk about what is the subject that they don't want repeatedly, and to almost anyone.
Yep.
In addition to that, what they don't notice, and I would express that they generally don't notice how often they even talk about that type of subject. But in addition to that, they definitely don't notice all of the other behaviors that are being influenced by that concentration and what they are actually doing in many, many different capacities. An individual, hypothetically, in that type of situation might be inclined, as allowing that feeling, that fear, to dictate behavior, to be very acquiescing to their partner and always complying with them, or complying with them in many situations and then suddenly being oppositional. And in that, not recognizing that the compliance aspect is a tremendous factor being fear-based, that they are actually pushing the other individual away in that complicit expression, for they are not being genuine. They are being protective of themselves. Therefore, there is a shield around themselves, which in their perception they are doing and expressing and acting in a manner that they think the other individual wants, or what will make the other individual happy.
Yeah.
But in actuality, what the other individual is receiving is that they are never available, that they are always removed, and that they are continuously placating to the partner, and therefore the partner feels and perceives that they are actually not important and are merely being acquiesced to be dismissed. That eventually the partner moves in a direction of losing interest and perhaps even expressing beyond the loss of interest in a capacity of being irritated that they are not being valued. Mm-hmm. Now, in that, the first individual would definitely express to themselves, to that partner, and to everyone else that they genuinely value their partner, and that is the reason they are so afraid their partner will leave them. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, their actions, what they are doing is expressing precisely the opposite. That is what generates the actual manifestations, not what you are thinking or feeling alone.
Right.
Must be coupled with action. Therefore, that is the reason that I have been expressing to all of you for such an extended time framework how important it is to be aware of what you are doing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we see it all the time, with especially with her. I mean, for instance, there's a recent development with her where I'm sure a lot of fear and anxiety within her about her daughter's issue has been held, and she hasn't been talking about it per se as much. I don't know what goes on in her own life. I'm sure there's a lot of doing or talking about that goes along with it. But, and this is kind of goes along with what you said, that fear, that while it's not what will eventually create the feared reality, but the action does. But you had also said that fear, that energy will be expressed. And
yes,
sometimes it feels like some individuals, especially those who actually know about this type of information, this you create your own reality, sometimes it feels that they are so focused on the thing that is feared or the event that is feared that they don't realize or see just how that energy is affecting, in a manner of speaking, you know, all the things that are going on in their reality.
Very much. I agree.
Yes.
And it is all interconnected.
Yeah.
And old energy, as I have expressed previously, it is that action of placing all that energy in that invisible container, and eventually it will overflow.
Right.
And does, you create explosions.
Right.
And those explosions may not appear in any fashion that resembles what you were afraid of.
Right.
They may appear very different.
Sure.
They are interconnected, but in that, an individual could incorporate a tremendous fear of natural disasters.
Okay.
Such as earthquakes.
Right.
Or hurricanes. And in that, that individual may hold a tremendous amount of energy in relation to that fear, in relation to their concentration about it. Now, in that, does the individual necessarily create an earthquake or a hurricane? Not necessarily. They might create some other type of explosion, such as a collision in their car.
Right.
Or they may incorporate some significant, intense conflict with another individual in which they generate a significantly intense fight.
So in a manner of speaking, you're saying that they probably will likely create something that shakes up their life.
Yes. And it may not be in the form of a natural disaster.
Right.
They may even generate some actions such as breaking a bone.
Right.
And subsequently, they will be asking the question, why did I do that? And in that, all of that accumulated energy will be expressed. You cannot hold it forever.
Right. So with this friend of ours, recently she's had two health scares. One turned out to be nothing, though it still scared her. The other, which I don't know if she's had like the full results yet, but she's worried now. She went into the dentist. The dentist felt her, I guess, lymph nodes or something. They were swollen or something, or one of them was. And he's like, you should go get this checked. She went and got it checked. And she's now telling us how she's fearful of what the doctor said, because they were like, oh, if it comes back with what we think it might come back with, then we're going to have to do a biopsy. So now she's scared she might have cancer. And so we're curious if that is a manifestation that has come about from fear and anxiety she's been holding, whether it's, you know, around, you know, the fear and anxiety she's had with her daughter, with her relationships, just kind of that overall generalized anxiety and fear she's been holding on to. Would you say that that is correlated?
Yes, definitely. And this is very common, in which individuals generate physical manifestations within themselves.
Definitely.
In relation to that action of holding energy.
Yeah, you don't need to tell me that twice.
Broken arm.
You said broken bones, and you were pointing at me, weren't you?
Very common.
Yeah.
There are many individuals that do that.
Yeah.
And another tremendous factor in relation to that, which is the reason that I continue to express repeatedly information about this subject, is individuals not expressing themselves and not expressing feelings and not recognizing or understanding that there is a tremendous difference between expressing about a feeling and expressing a feeling.
Yeah.
Individuals have become so accustomed, and for the most part, in your last century, to expressing themselves about feelings, explaining them.
Hmm.
or explaining about them, but not actually expressing the feelings themselves. And in doing so, holding a considerable amount of energy. And I would express to you that this is a tremendous contributor to why in the past century you have created more dis-ease and discomfort and dysfunction than you have throughout the entire rest of your history. In little more than 100 years out of the entire human history, you have created more disease, discomfort, and dysfunction than you have in relation to plagues and contagions throughout your history. That is significantly telling in itself.
Yeah, wow.
You are so much more adept now, and so much more in the direction of turning all of that energy in on yourselves to be harmful to yourselves than you have ever been.
Wow. So, now this can also, of course, work in the opposite way. And that's what we want, really.
And that is what you're doing by expanding your awareness and shifting.
Yeah, Ginger and I just had a small little cool little example. I said the other day in our other sessions that we've been, you know, having a lot of expressions of abundance come about. We just had another one where both of us kind of wanted new phones, but phones are relatively expensive, and so I was like, well, I'm not sure I want to buy two of them right now. Maybe, because my phone was working a little bit better than hers. She had dropped hers probably a bit more. So I was like, we could get you a phone, and I'll wait for a little while. And that was cool. So she was at work one day, and just kind of telling her coworkers that she's looking for a new phone, and not even putting any sort of feelers out there for anything to happen other than, you know, find a new phone, and we would buy it. Well, a doctor comes up, her doctor friend, and is like, I'll buy you a phone. And she was like, no, you're not going to buy me. She's like, yeah, I'll buy you a phone for your birthday. So we got the ability to, we had the ability to buy one phone like we were going to, and she got hers for free. So
Thank you.
So that's kind of the...
I would express that this is another excellent example of creating what you want and interpreting surprise.
Definitely.
Very easily.
Definitely. And that would go along with holding on to, not fear, of course, but holding on to feelings of abundance and projecting that energy and therefore going about in the actions of talking more about things that you like and you want to do, and as opposed to the opposite that we were just talking about.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And satisfaction,
yeah,
rather than lack or what is not enough,
yeah,
or what you can't do.
Yeah.
And allowing yourself to move in directions of what you are doing, not even what you will do, but what you already are doing.
Yeah. And I feel like that's going to the sort of momentum we feel with lately with everything that we've been experiencing with abundance. We've finally sat down to really work on this new internet business, and we're feeling good about it, and we feel like we're going to ride this momentum really well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I am tremendously congratulating of you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that should be our time.
Very well. I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting.
We will too.
And more of your successes.
Yes, definitely.
I express tremendous encouragement to both of you. And offer tremendous lovingness and dear friendship to you each.
And to you as well.
You too, Elias.
What?